This week's Parsha is Parsha's Nitzavim, and we'll start in the beginning of the Parsha, which is chapter 29, verse number 9. The verse says, Atam Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, you are standing all here today, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, in front of Hashem your God, Roshoichem Shifteichem, your heads, your tribes, Ziknechem, your elders, Shetreichem, and your officers, Koilish Israel, all men of Israel. Normally, the translation today means today where Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to bring the Jewish people into a covenant, but today is going to have a different interpretation, and this is the interpretation that Rashi brings down on Pasuk number 12. Rashi brings there Umedrish Agoda, the Medrish Agoda, which the Medrish Agoda asks, Lama Nismecho Parshas Atam Nitzavim Likloloys, why is it written the verse of Atam Nitzavim that you are all standing next to the Parsha, next to the portion that had the curses, meaning that the end of last week we had all the curses and in this week we have written Atam Nitzavim that you are standing, then we have to understand what's the juxtaposition, why is this connected. So Rashi answers based on the Midrash, Lefish Shom Israel, because the Jewish people heard Meyo Klolois Chosesh Time, 100 curses minus 2, meaning they heard 98 curses that are written in last week's Parsha, Chutz Marboim Vetesha Shebet Torah Kohanim, besides the 49 curses that are already written in the book of Vayikra in Parshas Bechukosai, therefore, because they heard all these curses, Hoiriku Paneim, they became pale, and they said, Mi Yuchal Lamoit Beilu, who could stand by this, meaning that clearly they are going to sin, and if they sin, they are going to get punished, then who is going to be able to withstand all these curses? Therefore, Hischil Moshe Lefaisam, Moshe started consoling them, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, you are still standing today. Meaning, Harbe ke'astem lamokoim, you have angered Hashem many times, velo yaso eschem kelio, and yet he did not destroy them, v'reyatem kayom lefanov, and you are still standing today, hayoim, you are standing today, which means kayoim azeh, like this day, sheu kayom, that is still standing, v'hu mapil umeir, even though the day is standing and it's light, but before it was light, it was dark, kach, Hey Elohim, so too Hashem gave you light. Vekach hosid lo'er Elohim, and so will Hashem bring you more light. Meaning that even though you did something wrong, nonetheless, there is a light in front of you, and Hashem will always make sure there's always going to be light, that's going to be a shiny day in front of you. But then we have a problem why we need the curses. Rashi says, the akloloys and the curses, vayesurim, and the pains that you get, Mekaimin Eschem, sustain you. And the Sifsei Chachamim explains that because of the curses, you are afraid of transgress what is written in the Torah. Umatzivim Eschem Lefonav, and keep you standing in front of Hashem. The Sifsei Chachamim explains that if you do sin, Hashem gives you punishments, and that punishment annuls the sin. Like that, you'll be able to stand in front of Hashem. And Rashi explains that all these words that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying are words of consolation. The question that we are going to address in this shiur is that what Moshe Rabbeinu did seems to be totally opposite of the intention of the pasuk, meaning that the reason why we have such harsh curses and we have so many curses, it seems that Hashem wants to let us know that if we don't keep the Torah and we don't follow in the words of Hashem, then Hashem is going to real punish us in a harsh way. And yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jewish people are upset, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, don't worry, you sinned many times, and these curses didn't happen to you, you are still here. So too, don't worry about the curses written there, they won't happen to you. That's what it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues and says that the curses are made to deter you from sin. But since Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that the curses won't take effect upon you because you are still standing even though you misbehaved, then what is the purpose of these curses? We are first going to bring the answer that is brought down in Sefer Tiferet Shloimeh. The Tiferet Shloimeh goes on the Gemara that's written in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis 31b, where there the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned a braisa. Rab Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Rab Shimon ben Elazar says, Ezra tiken lohem leIsrael, Ezra established for the Jewish people, Sheyahu koirim klolos shebetoris kahanim, that they should read the curses that is written in the book of Vayikra, in Parshas Bechukosai, koidem atzeres, before Shavuot, v'shebe Mishneh Torah, and the curses that's written in Devarim, in Parshas Kisavoy, koidem Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, Mai tame, what is the reason that we should read all these curses before Rosh Hashanah, or the curses before Shavuos? Omar Abaye, Abaye explains, Mai tame, Rish Lakish, and some say that Rish Lakish is the one who says that, Kedei Shetichle Hashanah V'kilo Yiseo, so that the year may end, and with it its curses. Meaning that since we want to have a good new year, we don't want to read the curses in the new year. Therefore, we read the curses right before Rosh Hashanah, right before the new year. Like that, the last year will end and the curses that we read with it will also end. This interpretation is consistent with what Abaye himself brings down on Krisus Davov Amet Aleph 6a, where there Abaye says, Hashta the Omres, now that you say Simona Milsei, that the omen is a significant thing, meaning that if you do something that represents what is going to happen, therefore he says, Yeragel Inish Lamechel Reishato, the person should eat in Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, certain vegetables and certain fruits that give good omen. And he gives the example of kra, a gourd, verubia, and fenugreek, karte, leek, silka, beets, the tamra, and dates, as it is the custom nowadays to eat those things on Rosh Hashanah. So we see that Abaye holds that whatever happens in the new year, it's significant, and this is a good omen for the rest of the year. Therefore, we want to make sure that we don't read the curses beginning of the new year, that we finish the last year with the curses, like that the curses won't take effect in the new year. We will just finish the Gemara, that the Gemara asks, I understand that the curses on Mishneh Torah, the curses on Dvorim, on Parshas Kisavoy, should be read before Rosh Hashanah, because you want the year and its curses to end. But why do you have to read the curses in Parshas Bechikoisai on Vayikra before Shavuos? So the Gemara answers that Shavuos is also a new year, as the Mishneh in Rosh Hashanah says that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and one of these Rosh Hashanahs is Shavuos, which is Rosh Hashanah for Peros Ailen, for the fruits of the tree. So therefore, we want the curses to end before that new year. Sefer Tiferet Shloimeh gives a different interpretation on this Gemara, and Sefer Tiferet Shloimeh gives an interpretation based on what is written the same page on Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, but in regards to the Bris Bein Absarim, in regards to the covenant between parts, that is on Bereishis chapter 15, starting in verse number 7. Where Hashem promises Avraham Avinu that his children are going to inherit Eretz Israel, there Avraham Avinu tells Hashem in verse number 8, "Vayomer Hashem, b'mo eda, how will I know ki roshano, that I will inherit it?" And the Gemara is bothered, how is it possible that Avraham Avinu is doubting Hashem that he's going to inherit? Therefore the Gemara says that Omar Avraham lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avraham Avinu said in front of Hashem, maybe, heaven forbid, the Jewish people are going to sin in front of you, and you will punish them in the same way that you punished the generation of the flood and the generation of the dispersion. So you will do the same thing, meaning that how can you guarantee that the Jewish people are going to inherit? Maybe they are going to sin. And since we know, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mirat shamayim, that everything is in the hands of Hashem, besides fear of Hashem, that means that if a person sins or doesn't sin, that is his own free choice. Maybe the Jewish people are going to sin, and then you will punish them. Omar Lo Yashem tells Avraham Avinu, love, they are not, no, meaning I won't punish them. Then Avraham Avinu says, how will I know for sure? So Hashem tells him that he should take this Eglo Meshuleshes, this calf, and these animals, which Hashem implied that every time they'll bring an offering for me, I will forgive them. So Avraham Avinu says, Hashem, Tinach Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. I understand that the offerings work for atonement when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, because then you could bring an offering for atonement. Bizman Sheim Beis HaMikdash Kayam, but if the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, like today, unfortunately, Matehe Aleim, what is going to be of them? How are they going to atone for their sins? So Hashem answered them, Kvarto Kanti Lochem Seder Karbonos, that I gave them the order of the karbonos, of the offerings. Kolz ma shekoyrim bohem, any time that they read the laws of the offering, mala nialeim, I counted for them, kilu makrivin lifonai korban, as they would have brought in front of me an offering, umoichani, and I'll forgive them, al kol avonoseim, on all their sins. Meaning that nowadays, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and technically we don't have a way to get atonement, Hashem tells that we should read the portion of the offerings, and when we read it, Hashem counts for us as you would have brought the offerings, and Hashem then, as a matter of fact, this is exactly what Rav Yitzchok brings down in Menachos Daf Kof Yud 1:10, where there he says, on the verse that's written in Vayikra chapter 6, verse number 18, where it says, Zois toiras achatos, this is the laws of the sin offering, and then it's written later on, Vezois toiras ha'asham, and this is the laws of the guilt offering. Rabbi Yitzchok explains that kol oisek the toiras chatos, that anybody who is engaged in the study of the laws of the sin offering, Hashem views it kiilu hikriv chatos, as you'd have brought a sin offering. Meaning in the same way the sin offering atones, so too, if you can bring a sin offering and you learn the laws of the sin offering and you engage in that, then Hashem views it as you brought a sin offering and it atones. And the same thing, when you want the guilt offering, the same thing, whoever engages in the laws of the guilt offering, Hashem views it as you'd have brought a guilt offering. So we see this idea that when you learn something and you engage deeply in that, then Hashem views it as it would have happened. According to this, Sefer Tiferet Shlem explains that this is exactly why Ezra established that people should read the curses before Rosh Hashanah, because like that, since when you read the curses and you're involved in it, Hashem views it as the curses had already come on you. Therefore, if Chas V'Shalom, you didn't keep the Torah, and technically you should have the curses come upon you, but the fact that you are reading the curses and you are saddened and you are engaged in those curses, that automatically is viewed as the curses came upon you. Therefore, you are forgiven for the sins that you did that would have caused those curses to come. And we want this specifically to be before Rosh Hashanah, because we want that the new year should be a new year without those punishments that came for you not doing the right thing. Meaning again, that since when you read the laws of chatos, the laws of the offerings, it's tantamount as you brought the offerings, so too, when you read the curses, it's tantamount as you'd have gotten the curses, and that by itself should be enough that the curses don't have to materialize and come upon you, because just by reading them, Hashem views as it would have gotten over you. According to this, we could answer that this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jewish people. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jewish people are saddened, meaning that they heard those curses, and once they heard those curses came into their heart and they became pale. That means that they were serious about those curses, and they were so worried that they said, Miyuchad Lamed Be'elu, who could stay in these curses? Once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they were pale and saw that they were really serious about it, Moshe Rabbeinu started consoling them and saying, Atem nitzavim hayoim, you are standing today. Meaning, the very fact that you are pale and you are pained by these curses and you believe that these curses are so strong that you can stand by it, that in itself causes that you won't get those curses. Because once you have the pain of those curses, just by reading it, Hashem views it as you actually got those curses, and Hashem doesn't have to give you the curses anymore. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that the reason why these curses are written is exactly this reason, that a person should feel pain from reading those curses. Once he feels pain from reading those curses, then automatically it's viewed as the curses came upon him. And once the curses came upon him, that means that his sins had been atoned because he received the pain for those curses. Therefore, these curses make you stand in front of Hashem. They make you be able to stand upright in front of Hashem. And specifically, according to the opinion of the Zohar, where the Zohar says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, that you're all standing today in front of Hashem, meaning that you're standing in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah in judgment, then it's perfect that we read the curses before the end of the year. Once we read the curses before the end of the year, Hashem views as we receive those curses. Once we receive those curses, that means that our sins were atoned, because the reason for those curses are transgression of the Torah. That means Hashem forgave our transgressions of the Torah via our pain, because we read these curses and we had the pain as we would have gotten those curses. Now we are able to stand in front of Hashem in judgment, and Hashem will give us a good year. Sefer Shemeroj wants to give a different answer, but before he gives an answer, he brings the introduction of the Ramban in the book of Dvorim. Meaning, there is a big argument when the laws that are written in the book of Dvorim, meaning the laws that are written in Dvorim and aren't written in any other of the four books before that, if they were given at the time to Moshe Rabbeinu, or they were previously already known, and Moshe Rabbeinu decides to write them down. The opinion of the Ramban is that all the laws that we have were either given at Sinai or at the Tent of Meeting in the first year before the spies, because he says that in Arvos Moav, where the book of Dvorim was written, the only new thing that we have is the covenant, the bris that we made with Hashem, and no other mitzvah were added here. And the Ramban brings as a proof that no other mitzvah was added here, because in the book of Dvorim we could not find any time that says Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu to say, or we can't find anywhere that says Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people to do something, Oydaber Bnei Yisrael v'amartu aleihem, or speak to the Jewish people and say to them to make something, because no mitzvah was added in the book of Dvorim. So according to the Ramban, all the mitzvahs were previously given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Ramban asks, if that is so, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu write those mitzvahs in the previous four books, so those who went out of Egypt should also hear those mitzvahs? The Ramban answers, because could be that those mitzvahs are not applicable to them. Either because the mitzvahs only apply when you come into Eretz Israel, and the Ramban says that even the mitzvahs that are chovos haguf, that are obligation on the body and not on the land, it could be that they don't have any effect until they come into Eretz Israel. Meaning that the Ramban really follows his own opinion, that the Ramban says that the doing of mitzvahs before we came into Eretz Israel was only done as practice, even though they are not related to the land. And once we came into the land, then we became obligated to do all the mitzvahs. But the Ramban continues and says that could also be that the people that left Egypt did not receive those mitzvahs written in the book of Dvorim, because it's not constant, and the mitzvahs that are written in the book of Dvorim are only destined to be given to those who came in to Eretz Israel. Those who came to inherit Israel, they have to receive the mitzvahs. So according to the Ramban, even though Moshe Rabbeinu received the laws that is written in the book of Dvorim, nonetheless he did not transmit to Eretz Israel until this time, because they weren't applicable to the other people. They are only applicable to the people that are going into Eretz Israel, and therefore they are written in the book of Dvorim. The Radvaz rejects the words of the Ramban, because the Radvaz asks, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu received a mitzvah to transmit to the Jewish people, and he'll hold it for himself and not transmit it to the Jewish people? Therefore, the Radvaz says that clearly Moshe Rabbeinu only received those mitzvahs in Arvos Moav, meaning the mitzvahs written in Dvorim were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu previously, they were just given now in Arvus Moav, and therefore he transmits them now. But had he gotten the mitzvahs before, he would have transmitted it before. The Abarbanel is of the opinion that all the mitzvahs written in the book of Dvarim are not new. They are all mitzvahs that are already alluded to or written in very short way previously. And now that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that he is about to die, he decided to go over those mitzvahs one more time because maybe they will need it right away. But clearly, according to the Abarbanel, the Jewish people already knew all the mitzvahs. Meaning that according to the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the mitzvahs, but he didn't transmit some of the mitzvahs to the Jewish people until now, until the Book of Dvarim, because they weren't applicable to the rest of the community. According to the Radvaz, Moshe Rabbeinu received new mitzvahs and he wrote them down now in the Book of Dvarim. And according to the Abarbanel, all the mitzvahs were given and explained previously to the older Jewish people, including those who left Egypt. But now that those mitzvahs are applicable right now, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to go over those mitzvahs in more detail, and therefore he wrote them in the Book of Dvarim. Nonetheless, according to the opinion of the Ramban and the Radvaz, certain mitzvahs that are written here in the Book of Dvarim were never heard by the Jewish people any time before. And as a matter of fact, the Mabit in the Sefer Beis Elokim Shari Yesoides Perek Lamed Zayin brings down that in the desert the Jewish people did not put on tefillin, because since it wasn't given yet the parsha of Krishma until Dvarim, meaning that the idea of Shartem al Mezuzo is Beisach Vishorecho is written in the book of Dvarim. The first part is written in Parshas Veschanon, chapter 6, verse number 8, where it says, "Kshartom lo'ois al yodecho v'oretufo is be'enecho," you should bind them as a sign your arm and as an ornament between your eyes. And the second part of the Shema is written in Parshas Ekev, chapter 11, verse number 18, where there it says, "Ukshartom oisom lo'ois al yetchem," that you should bind them on the sign on your hands. There should be Letoitofo is Be'enechem as an ornament between your eyes. So that means that before Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted the Shema to the Jewish people didn't know about the parshas of Shema. Automatically, if they don't know about the parshas of Shema, they don't know about the mitzvah of Tefillin, as is the opinion of the Ramban and the Radvaz. Therefore, the Mabit says that the Jewish people did not put tefillin on when they were in the desert. Sefer Shemiroish wants to use this idea to understand a very interesting Gemara in Shavuos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph 13a. There the Gemara says, Rabbi Oimer, Rabbi says, Al kol aveira shebetoyre, for all the sins in the Torah, bein osa tshuva, bein lo yosa tshuva, doesn't matter if he repented or he did not repent, nonetheless, Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, the day of Yom Kippur, that itself atones. And he gives the exception, Chutz Mipoy Rekol, with the exception, if somebody denies Hashem's existence, Umegale Ponim Batoira, and somebody who speaks with insolence about the words of the Torah, meaning that he says that the Torah words are insignificant and the Torah has frivolous statements, Umefer Biv Brasov, somebody who violates the covenant of the circumcision. In these cases, Yom Kippur itself does not atone, but Shema Asa Tshuva, if a person does Tshuva, if he repents, then it atones, but if he does not do Tshuva, then it does not atone. And the question that Meforshim ask is, what compelled Rabbi to say that Yom Kippur is going to atone even if a person did not do Tshuva? Clearly, we know the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Nun Amud Aleph 50a, where there the Gemara brings down that Omar Rab Chanina says, Kol Oimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron Hu, that anybody who says that Hashem is disregarding of sin, meaning that he doesn't count certain sins, Yivatru Chayov, his life should be disregarded. And he brings up proof from it, that sitting on the verse, Dvarim chapter 32, verse number 4, that Atzur Tomim Foloi, that the Rak Hashem, perfect in his work, he hold the Rach of Mishpat, for all his paths are justice. So clearly we see that Hashem does punish a person for the sin. He doesn't disregard their sin. then how can Rabbi say that if you don't do tshuva, that even if you do not repent, the day of Yom Kippur will atone? I understand that if you repent, then automatically it removes your sin, then automatically Yom Kippur should atone. But if you do not repent, how can we say that the day of Yom Kippur would atone? What compelled Rabbi to say that? Based on what we said previously in regards to the Ramban and the Radvaz, Sefer Shemeroj says that since we know that according to the Ramban, the Mitzvah Tshuva is written in this week's Parsha, meaning that on chapter 30, verse number 1, it says that when it will come upon you the blessing and the curses that Hashem gave, and then you will take in your heart from all the places that Hashem sent you there, and then the Shafto Ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return to Hashem and you listen to His voice. Then it says, Shav Hashem Elokecha Shavuzcha, Hashem will return your captivity, V'richamecha, and have mercy on you. And then it says on Pasuk number 8, Vato Soshuv, and you will return, V'shamato Bekoil Hashem, and you will listen to the voice of Hashem, and you will do all the mitzvahs that Hashem commands you today. And afterwards, on verse number 11, it says, Ki ha-mitzvah azois, because this mitzvah, so the Ramban says that this is referring to the mitzvah of tshuva, to the mitzvah of repentance, which means that the mitzvah of repentance was given here in Parshas Nitzavim, in Avos Moav. Then according to the Ramban and the Radvaz, that means that the Jewish people did not hear before about the mitzvah of tshuva. They were not commanded on the mitzvah of tshuva, because this mitzvah does not appear in any of the other previous books of the Torah. And yet, we know that after the Jewish people did the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to pray for the Jewish people. And on Yom Kippur, Hashem accepted Moshe Rabbeinu's argument, and He decided to give the second tablets. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur, and that is when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Solachti kidvorecho, that I forgave the Jewish people according to your words. That means that at the time of the golden calf and the time where we received the second tablets, there was not yet a promise that tshuva is going to help, and yet Hashem forgave us completely. That means that Hashem forgave the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, even when they didn't do tshuva, even when they did not repent. Therefore, Rabbi has a proof that Hashem forgives on Yom Kippur if you do tshuva, and even if you do not do tshuva. Because since Hashem forgave for the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf, and yet the Jewish people did not know about the mitzvah of tshuva until they came here in Dvarim, until this Parshas Nitzavim, according to the Ramban and according to the Radvaz, therefore Rabbi comes out and says that Yom Kippur atones even though you did not do tshuva. Even according to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, now we understand what is happening with Moshe Rabbeinu trying to console the Jewish people, meaning that the Jewish people did not yet know about the mitzvah of tshuva. And even though they did not know about the mitzvah of tshuva, they heard all these curses, all these 98 curses that is written in last week's Parsha. Therefore, the Jewish people started getting disheartened. They started worrying, because since the verse in Keheles, chapter 7, verse number 20, writes down, Ki ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov velo yechta, there is no righteous people in the land that will do good and not sin. That means that somebody always sins, and if somebody always sins and he gets all these punishments, since there is no repentance yet, then he will be lost, because all these punishments that's written in last week's Parsha will destroy him. Therefore, once Moshe Rabbeinu heard that the Jewish people are worried about sinning and about getting those curses on them, Moshe Rabbeinu said that you don't have to worry about these punishments coming to you. True that you are going to sin, but I am going to teach you the laws of tshuva, because according to the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu already knew about these laws, but he didn't give them yet to the Jewish people. And once you know about the laws of tshuva, you don't have to worry about these curses, because you have a choice that as soon as you sin, you repent, and these curses won't come on you. Therefore, Sefer Shemeroy says, it is written, Atem Nitzavim, that you are still able to stand up, meaning that even though you sin, you'll still be able to stand up if you repent. And that is also why it's written Hayoim, today. And Rashi writes down that Hayoim, like today, that it first was dark and then was light, so too Hashem will lighten up for you. So Sefer Shemeroy says that we know when somebody sins, it becomes dark for him, because sin is tantamount to darkness. Then it says, like in the same way that the day, first it's dark and then it becomes light, meaning that first you sin, but once you repent, it becomes light. So too, if you repent, Hashem will make all the days light for you, and you'll be able to stand in front of Him. And the reason why we have these curses and yisurim and pains is because Hashem wants you to repent. And normally when a person is suffering, a person tries to understand what he did wrong. Then he repents. And once he repents, he's able to stand in front of Hashem, because his sins is removed. Not only his sins is removed, but if he repents wholeheartedly, completely, mehava, out of love, then the sins will turn out to be merits, automatically be able to stand close to Hashem, because he won't have any sins, he'll only have merits. Sefer Kehilat Yitzchak brings an interpretation based on what is written by the Baal Shem Tov on the Pasuk on Dvorim, chapter 10, verse number 12. There the verse says, Ve'ato Yisrael, and now Israel, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shoyel Mi'imach, what is Hashem asking of you? Kim Le'yiro Es Hashem Elokecho, only to fear Hashem your God. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh gives an example to explain the idea of this verse. And he explains in the following way. Normally when a father tells his son, don't walk barefoot because I'm afraid that your foot is going to step on something, there is two ways to look at this thing. The son, if he's young, he doesn't understand yet how damaging it could be to step on something. The reason why he doesn't walk barefoot is because he's afraid what the father is going to do to him. Maybe he's afraid the father is going to hit him, or he's afraid of getting a rebuke from his father. But the father, when he tells the son not to walk barefoot, he has in mind because he doesn't want the son to get hurt. And when the son gets older, he understands now the reason why his father said what he said, and he actually has the same reason in his own mind, meaning that he doesn't walk barefoot because he's afraid he's going to step on something and get hurt. The same thing says the Baal Shem Tov, that Hashem gave us 613 mitzvahs, and the 613 mitzvahs are made that it should protect us, that we should not become total physical, and we should not become haughty, and we should not separate ourselves, chas v'sholem, heaven forbid, from Hashem. Because the mitzvahs are made to purify our physicality and to get closer to Hashem. And the reason why Hashem doesn't want us to sin is because by our sins we become more physical and we become more distant to Hashem. But unfortunately we do not see it this way. And the reason why sometimes we do mitzvahs and we do not transgress things is not because we want to purify our soul and want to get close to Hashem and we want to make sure that we are always pure. The reason we do mitzvahs and don't do averus is because we are afraid of punishment of Hashem. We are afraid that Hashem is going to hurt us if we don't do the mitzvah or if we do the sin. Therefore, the Baal Shem Tov says that this is what the verse here is saying, meaning, Ve'atu Yisrael, now Israel, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shoyel Mi'imach, you know what Hashem is asking of you, Kim Le'yiro Es Hashem Elokecho, that you should fear the damage that's done by the averus, because you want to be close to Hashem, and therefore you should do the mitzvahs, not because you are afraid that Hashem is going to punish you, but because you want to get purified by the mitzvah, and you don't do averus because the averus will cause damage to your soul. The same reason that Hashem tells you to do mitzvahs and averus, because Hashem is worried about your soul, so therefore your fear should be matched to Hashem's fear. In the same way of the example that when you become older, you realize that you can't walk barefoot and you have the same fear as your father, so too, you shouldn't do sins because you have the same fear as your father. You're afraid that the sins are going to corrupt you and they're going to cause you more physical, and then you'll be distanced from Hashem. This idea is also echoed by Reb David Melalev, Zechisa Yogi O'Reilly, that he brings the verse in Dvarim chapter 11, verse number 26, where there it says, Re'ei Anoichi Noisen Lifneichem Ayom, see, I'll give in front of you today, Bracha Uklola, a blessing and a curse, and it goes on to say that the blessing will come if you follow the words of Hashem, and the curse will come if you do not follow the words of Hashem. And he explains that this is the way of the world, that when you want your child to learn Torah, you want to go in the right way, you show him some candy or a coin, and you tell him, if you're going to learn and do the good things, then I'll give you the candy. And if you're not going to learn, and you're not going to do the good things, then I'm going to give you lashes, I'm going to hit you. And the child will learn Torah because he'll get the candy, and he's afraid that if he doesn't learn, he will get the punishment. But when the child gets older and he realizes that learning the Torah is a bracha, is a blessing in itself, and if you do not learn Torah, then it's a curse by that, then you don't have to show him anymore the coin to bribe him to learn Torah, because he'll know by himself that he should learn Torah, because that is the greatest gift that a person could have. Then at this point, you don't have to threaten him or bribe him, because the child will by himself know that this is the right thing to do. Meaning that once he gets a little more brains and he realizes that it's not required anymore the bribe to tell him that if you do good, you'll get blessing, and if you do bad, you'll get curses. Therefore, says the Lelev Rebbe, that this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing in this Parsha Re'eh. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is still rebuking the Jewish people. And he's saying, see, even though you are here 40 years, you're learning Torah for so long, I still have to give you a blessing and a curse, meaning that you don't know to do the mitzvahs by yourself. You only do mitzvahs because you get a blessing, and you only refrain from doing averes because you're afraid of the curse. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving part of rebuke to the Jewish people that I still have to give you the blessings and curse, meaning I still have to bribe you to do mitzvahs by giving you a blessing, and I still have to cause you fear from doing averes by promising you that if you transgress, you'll get cursed. And Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell the Jewish people that it is about time that you should do the mitzvahs, not because of the reward of physicality that you'll get, but because of the reward of the mitzvah itself, meaning the mitzvah in itself is the reward, and the transgression itself is the punishment, meaning I don't have to give you additional punishment. The punishment of not doing the mitzvah in itself, that is its own punishment. But since the Jewish people aren't mature enough to understand that, Moshe Rabbeinu has still to threaten them with punishment and give them a reward, a bribe, when they do the mitzvah. According to this idea, Sefer Kilas Yaakov explains that this is what was hurting the Jewish people. Meaning, the Jewish people heard 100 curses minus 2. They heard 98 curses. Because they heard 98 curses, they became pale, and they said, who could stand for them? Meaning that since the curses are made that a person should fear Hashem, meaning, as we mentioned earlier, the curses is that when you are not in such a great level, then Hashem has to threaten you that if you don't do the things, then Hashem will punish you. That means that the Jewish people felt that the Jewish people are not in a very high level. Because Hashem gives us such harsh curses, that means Hashem has to threaten us in such a way, that means that we are really not at all in the proper mindset. Because since if you'd have been in the proper mindset, Hashem wouldn't have to give us any curses, because you would have done the mitzvahs without any fear of punishment. The fact that Hashem has to threaten us with such harsh threats, that shows that we are not in the proper state of mind and we are not in the level yet. That caused disheartenment for the Jewish people. Therefore, says Sefer Kilas Yitzchak, that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Jewish people and tried to console them and tried to tell them that these curses that are written in these parshas in Parshas Kisavoy does not refer and does not apply to the Jewish people, because clearly the Jewish people are Dor Deya, are a generation of wisdom, and they are in a much higher level that they don't need to be threatened by these curses. But since the covenant that Hashem is making does not only apply for this generation, it applies, as the verse writes down in chapter 29, verse number 14, Ki es yeshnoi poi imanu oimedayoim, that not only the people that are standing here today, Nifnei Hashem Elokeinu, in front of Hashem, but also Veis Ashereinenu poi imanu ayoim, that those who are not here yet today, meaning the future generations, which are not going to be in the level of this generation who ate man and drank the waters of the Be'er, which became totally purified in their body and soul. We are talking about future generations which are going to need these threats, because they aren't going to be as smart as this generation. And in that case, they're going to need the threats in order not to transgress and in order to be able to stand in front of Hashem. And Hashem Yisburg should help that since we are during the days of tshuva, the days of repentance, that we should merit to repent completely out of love to Hashem. Hashem should not see anymore any sin in any of us. Then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Bimhero Beyomeinu. Amen.